Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you.
Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all you do be done in love. Our hope for today in this gathering is that we will all leave a little more courageous, a little more firmly rooted in our faith, in our values, in our community, and able to go out and be healing in a world that needs a lot of healing. So we will do that with this beautiful table of flowers. We will do that with music, with poetry, with story. And to be being courageous looks like a lot of different things. The stories we will tell will be about people reaching out and doing courageous things. But we know that sometimes the most courageous thing we can do is to just get out of bed one more day. We know that courage looks like being kind to someone who isn't kind, and all of those small, loving gestures. So sometimes courage changes history, and sometimes it changes hearts. And wherever you are in your journey, whoever you love, we welcome you. Come, let us be a community of love and hope and change. Come, let us worship together.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to this morning, this day, and this opportunity to be together in community, which is a time of joy, comfort, and sometimes challenges. This Unitarian Universalist congregation is a place where we come to learn more about what it is to be human. We are not here because we have figured out life's questions or because we think that we have the right answer. We come here to learn about being in relationship together, how to listen, how to forgive, how to learn, how to be vulnerable, and how to create trust and compassion in one another. My name is Celise Snow. I'm here as part of the Sunday Service Committee. If this is your first time here, welcome. Please join us after service for coffee and conversations. We also have an entire desk outside that's full of the various committees, meetings, clubs, and other activities and programs that we offer. Today's a special service. It's the flower service. It's one of my favorites. Let us move into worship, willing to be authentic with each other, honest with ourselves, and open to communication in all of its forms.
At this time, I invite you to stand in body or spirit so we can sing together.
May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well.
Do Lyndon and Daphne Willis want to come for the chalice lighting?
May we be kind, strong and brave, joyful, youthful, loving, honest, and healthy.
Good morning. I'm Zoe Villette from your Board of Trustees, and I'll be done after today, so you won't have to hear from me for quite a while. For our announcements, reminder, today's service is intergenerational. The preschool and the nursery rooms are both open. There are fidget baskets and coloring sheets available in the center back for anybody who needs coloring or fidget baskets. Many thanks for all the loaves and fishes food donations left at the church entrance. They will make a fine, hefty contribution. And thanks also for all the continuing food gifts made throughout the year. They are much appreciated. Please try to finish your pledge. We are $50,000 short for the year at this time. Call Alan or Dana if you have a special problem. Finally, our RE Volunteer Appreciation Party is in the foyer after service today. Please stay, enjoy cookies and punch, and celebrate and honor our amazing RE volunteers. Religious education is what RE is. Pardon me. A gentle reminder to please take one or two cookies as you go through the line and monitor your small humans as well. Thank you.
This is a poem written by Norbert Shepek, who we're going to be hearing about later. But it is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for the sacred things. Oh, blow ye evil winds into my body's fire, my soul you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the fight and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul. My life was worth living. He who was pressed from all sides but remained victorious in spirit is welcome into the choir of heroes. He who overcame the fetters giving wings to the mind is entering into the golden age victorious.
The healing when you're feeling all alone. We could be the reason to find the strength to carry on. In a world that's so divided, we shall overcome. We could be the healing. We can be the flower in the garden. We can be the healing. We can be the flower in the garden. What would I say to my son or to my daughter if they came and asked me about these days? What kind of reason could I give for all the hate that's standing in the way? Wish I could tell them that nobody's gonna judge them, and every stranger on the block is gonna love them. No bully in the world is gonna hurt them, but I can't say that today. Whoa. No one could ever take your pride from you. Speak your truth and let your spirit fly, so we could be the healing. When you're feeling all alone, we could be the reason, yeah, to find the strength to carry on. In a world that's so divided, we shall overcome. We could be the healing, healing. We could be the flower in the garden. We could be the healing. We can be the flower in the garden. What could I say to every woman who was ever told by a man, don't try to reach too high? What could I say to every girl who was betrayed and told to keep the pain locked inside? Wish I could say nobody's ever gonna judge me. Every stranger on the block is gonna love me. No bully in the world is gonna hurt me, but I can't say that today. No, no one could ever take my pride from me. I'll speak my truth and let my spirit fly, so we could be the healing. When you're feeling all alone, we could be the reason, yeah, to find the strength to carry on. In a world that's so divided, we shall overcome. We could be the healing, healing. We could be the flower in the garden. We could be the healing. We can be the flower in the garden.
The children to come up front, or anybody of any age who wants to come up for a great story. Tell you a story about someone who, in essence, put a flower in a gun, just like Lillian was just singing about. He lived a long time ago, and his name was Norbert Chopik. And he grew up, Catholic, which was his mom's faith, but he was a seeker of truth. And when he was 18, he converted to Baptist. He lived in what is now the Czech Republic in Europe. And he became a minister. And he was all about searching for truth and trying to make a better world. And one of the things he did is after World War I, he came to America. He had 9 kids he brought to America with him. And him and his wife said to these kids, we want you to go to a bunch of different Sunday school at different churches, to different religious education programs, and check it out. And we want you to come, just like you guys do, and he wanted him to come back and tell them which ones they liked best. And you'll never guess which Sunday school program was their favorite. It was the Unitarian Universalists. They came back and said, Dad, you are never going to believe it. This church is so cool. We love it there. So him and his wife went to that church, and he's like, this is what I have been searching for. So both of them became Unitarian ministers. And he said, this is what my people in Czechoslovakia need. So he went back to Europe and started the first Unitarian church there. And it was so popular that people were looking for this. But he didn't bring back all the songs and all the rituals. He just basically had a sermon on Sunday mornings. And the people needed a little bit more, but not the Catholic rituals he grew up with. And one day he was looking out over a beautiful field of flowers. And he noticed that while every single flower in that field was so beautiful, just on its own and just unique on its own. Yeah, like those. But he also noticed that together as a collective whole, they were even more beautiful than they were individually. And so he decided to create a flower communion at his church, just like what we're doing today with all these flowers. His wife ended up coming back to America, but he stayed in Czechoslovakia because he really felt like he had a lot of work to do there, and then came World War II. And unfortunately, his ideas about seeking truth and freedom and religious freedom for all people to be able to find their own truth did not go over well with the Nazi regime. And he was ultimately arrested and sent to Dachau, where he died living his truth, living his faith, and fighting for what he believed in. Similar to the flower and the gun, his whole life was spent working for truth, for freedom, for tolerance, and for reason. And today, Unitarian churches all around America and all in Europe, many of them celebrate the flower communion that he started on this Sunday, which is like our last Sunday of our regular program year. And this is where all the people bring different flowers, which individually are gorgeous. But if you look at this bouquet right here, collectively, we make more together than the sum of our parts. We are more beautiful and we are stronger together than we are individually. And this flower communion is what symbolizes that for our congregation and all the people in it. So what I want you guys to do is, if there's anybody that has not had a chance to put their flower into one of the vases in the front, if you would raise your hand with your flower. Oh, there's one. Oh, there's more. Yay. So what I would like you guys to do is, if you see a flower raised, will you go grab it and bring it up here and put it in one of these vases?
I'm going to have you go back and sit with your grown-ups, and we're going to call you back up again in a little while for another story. So don't get too comfortable back there.
Thank you.
From the beginning, families have brought their children to places of worship. They have trusted their religious communities to celebrate their children and help raise them. So we gather today out of reverence for the miracle and mystery of life in children and in us all. So in this ceremony, our child dedication ritual, we announce the name of each child to this community. We bless them and dedicate ourselves to them as we dream of the lives that await them as they grow.
I'd like to invite all the families who have children that we're dedicating today to please come up to the front. When people love one another, they offer blessings and make promises. That is what we are here to do today. All of us are offering blessings and making promises to these children, dedicating ourselves to them. First, the blessings.
What name do you give this child?
Mara Rose.
Mara Rose, how appropriate. We are so glad you are a part of our church. So we dedicate you with some water, the symbol of life, on your brow, your lips, and your hands, so that your thoughts, your words, and your deeds will bring more beauty, hope, and love into our world.
For her?
Well, you can negotiate that.
And what name do you give this child?
This one.
Harlow, you're ready to go. Let me wait just a second. We are so glad that you are part of our church. I touch you with this flower on your lips and on your brow and on your hands that you may bring more love, more peace, more hope, and more joy into this world. And here's your flower.
And what name do you give this child?
Hadley.
Hadley, we are so glad you are part of our church. And I touch you, I know, you're happy about it too. I touch you with this rose on your brow, your lips, in your hands, so your thoughts, your words, and your actions will bring more love, hope, and joy into our world. You want to hold it? Probably, that's probably Mama's job. And now, some promises. First, for families. Parents, will you love your children? Will you encourage their love of others and the truth? Will you strive to show them, through your words and actions, a life of meaning, beauty, and joy? Will you wonder with your children, grow with them, teach them, and be ready to learn what they have to teach you? Please respond, we will.
Our next promises are for the children and the youth of our congregation. If we could have all of the kids and the youth stand up, that would be great right now. So these children, as they grow, are going to look up to you as they grow up. And we want to know if you will help these children to grow up wise and strong and caring. You will be their friends and you will be their examples. They will look up to you, they will admire you, and they will learn from you. Do you promise to care for Mara and Hadley and Harlow, to share with them and learn with them and grow with them? If you agree, I want you to say, we will.
We will.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And now it is time for the promises of the congregation as a whole. So please join me in a responsive reading, a congregational blessing for child dedication. It is our faith. Yeah, it's up here, up there. It is our faith that each child born is one more redeemer.
By this service of dedication, we commit ourselves to the nurture of these children.
Are you ready to dedicate yourselves to Harlow, Hadley, and Mara?
We are prepared. We dedicate our minds and hearts to these children and to their parents.
Will you strive to love and cherish them in times of struggle as well as gladness?
We will love and cherish them always.
We acknowledge the divine spark within each child. So now, she's a little bit ahead of us. So as Jennifer plays music, we are going to walk through the sanctuary, and I invite you, as the children pass by, to offer a word of blessing, maybe reach out for a high five, and just surround this family, these families. Okay. May our dreams for these children come true. May we fulfill the promises we've made today. May these children know, always know that they are loved and always have safe harbor here in this congregation. And may all children always know that they are loved and have safe harbor in our world.
This next poem is Until We Could by Richard Blanca. When the fiery kick lines and fires were set for us by our founding mother fathers at Stonewall, we first spoke defiance. When we paraded glitter, leather, and rainbows made human, our words became pride down every city street, saying, just let us be. But that wasn't enough. Parades became rallies, bold words on signs and mouths, until a man claimed freedom as another word for marriage, and he said, let us in. We said, love is love. Proclaimed it to all of the eyes in the world. Said it to into all of the eyes that would listen at every door that would open. Until no's and maybes became yeses, town by town, city by city, state by state, understanding us and the women who dared to say enough until the gavel struck into law what we always knew. Love is the right to say, I do, I do, I do. And I do want to see every tulip we've planted come up in the spring after spring, 100 more years of dinners cooked over a shared glass of wine, 1,000 more movies in bed. I do until our eyes become voices, speaking without speaking, until a cloud, like a cloud meshed into a cloud, there's no more you, me, our names useless. I do want you to be the last face I see, your breath, the last breath. I do, and will, for those who still can't. Vow it yet, but know love's exact reason as much. As they know how to sail, keeps the winds without breaking, or how roots dig a way into the earth, or how stars open their eyes to the night, or how a vine becomes one with the wall that it loves, or how, when I hold you, you are rain in my hands.
I'd like to invite our children forward again for another story. And anyone else who wants to move and come sit on some steps is welcome as well, I suppose. So I have a question for you guys, and that is, where is the place in your life where you get to feel most yourself, most at home, most loved, where you can tell the things that most matter? Where is that? You guys have a place like that?
No idea.
Maybe it's with your family, maybe it's at school. Maybe it's here. Maybe it's with your friends. What do you think? Do you have a place that's your best place to be, where you're happiest and most loved? Maybe at your house. So this is a story about some people who had their place where they felt most themselves. And this story happened 50 years ago, which I imagine for some of you might feel like a long time ago. But there was a lot of people in this room who were alive 50 years ago. So it probably doesn't feel quite so long ago for them. And this is a story about a place.
My dad's almost 50 years old.
Your dad's almost 50 years old? Is he having a birthday soon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 49.
49. Okay, that is almost 50. So this happened just before your dad was born. About a year before.
Yeah.
So not that long ago, really, in the grand scheme of things. So there was a group of people who their safe place, or safer place, was a bar called the Stonewall Inn in New York City. And these were folks who are gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender, which I think many of us know what that meant, but that meant they were men who loved men or women who loved women or people who loved people of all genders or people who, that what their heart told them about if they were a boy or a girl or both or neither didn't match what people thought when they saw their bodies when they were born. And 50 years ago, it was not allowed to be any of those things. It was illegal. Can you believe that? I know. It's, things have really changed.
To be what?
To be gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. And so, I know, no way. I agree. Things have really changed in 50 years. And so there was a place where people could go and be their real selves and be honest about who they are and who they love. But sometimes the police would come and arrest everybody or scare them, and they did not feel safe when that happened. And the police just apologized for this about 3 days ago. It took them a long time. But one time when the police came, the people who were at the bar in their safer place said, no, we want to be able to be here and be who we are and be with our friends. And they threw some bricks. They yelled really loud. And they said, we are who we are and stop bothering us. Just let us be in peace. And that was a really big deal because this was one of the first times that it happened. And that happened for a couple nights in a row. And then again and again and again. And things started to change. And a year later, people had a big party and a big parade to have an anniversary of the Stonewall uprising. And then that happened again and again and spread to more places and changed and changed. And I'm wondering if any of you all went to Pride yesterday in downtown Kalamazoo, the big party. I know some of us did. Some of us did. And that is how that whole party started 50 years ago, with these people saying, let us be who we are and don't bother us if we're not hurting anybody. That's a pretty amazing thing to change so much in 50 years. Huh? No? Any thoughts? Okay. That's kind of a complicated story to think about. I get it.
Please feel free to join us in singing from your seats. We will sing this once through together, and then please follow your side, whosoever side you're on.
I know this rose will open. I know my fear will burn away. I know my soul will unfurl its wings. I know this rose will open.
I know this rose will
open. I know this rose will open.
I know my fear will burn away.
I would like to invite our children forward again. And this time you get to be really loud. Do you think you can come up and be loud? Awesome. So we've been talking about people who are brave and who are doing things that are loving and kind and courageous. And there's a lot of people in this room who do loving and kind things by serving this church and its mission in the world. And so are going to talk about some groups of people, and then I want you and everyone else to say thank you as loud as you can. So can we try it? So 1, 2, 3, thank you! You guys are naturals at this. Okay, Diane's going to start us off.
If you have ever volunteered over the course of this year in the RE program, in the religious education program, in any way, shape, or form, I would love to have you stand up. Any way, shape, or form. Helped with a specialty class, washed dishes, brought food to something. All right, I would like you guys to do your magic.
One, two, three.
Thank you!
Now, if you are an RE teacher, I want you to, or an RE committee member, I want you to continue to stand up. But if you just helped in a specialty class or did a food, you may sit down. So these people are people who have dedicated at least twice a month to working with our children and our youth or helping spearhead the program. And for these people, I have to say thank you to everyone in the congregation, because we had these in your order of service for weeks, and everybody wrote little words of thanks on these flowers, which are beautifully displayed above the stairs. But the RE committee members took all of your words and put them into a word cloud and made beautiful thank you cards for our RE teachers. So I would like each of you to pick those up by the punch bowl after church today. Can we have all the kids and everyone say 1, 2, 3?
Thank you!
I love it. Okay.
All right, you can sit down.
So get ready. We have a lot of thank yous to say, because there are so many people who make our church work. So continuing on this education theme, the people who help us learn and grow spiritually together. So this includes people who help make book clubs and study groups and discussion groups happen and chalice circles and our library. So if you do any of those things, you know, make a gesture, stand up, somehow make yourself known. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you!
Okay. And the people who make sure all feel welcomed and cared for here. So that includes our membership committee, the people who work at our information desk, the people who make the coffee, the people who do arms around, sending cards, visiting folks, bringing meals, offering rides, helping with the memorial service receptions, any other way you make people feel welcomed and cared for. Wave an arm, stand, whatever you want. Oh, my goodness. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you!
Okay, next group. You're going to get to yell again in a second. So the people who lead us to be generous. So the people who help with stewardship. The people who work on the bazaar and the auction and building rentals and other fundraisers and ways of bringing the money in. Make a gesture. Let us know. Oh, my goodness. It's so many people. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you!
Okay. Next group. So the people who manage our resources and take good care of what we have here. So the people who work on the buildings and grounds group, the finance committee, the endowment committee, the archives committee, anybody else who does that kind of work, taking good care of what we have here. Okay, yep. Okay, are you guys ready? One, two, three. Okay. The people who create solace and rejuvenation and inspiration. So that includes our AV team, our people who are musicians, the Sunday Services Committee, the people who lead services in the summer, the aesthetics folks, the memorial garden, the art wall, anything else that I'm probably leaving out. Let us know who you are. Okay, are you ready? One, two, three.
Thank you!
Okay. Next group. The people who lead this institution and bring us into better alignment with our values. So this includes the board, the committee on ministry, the people who do the work of dismantling the institutional racism within the church. Probably some other people. If that's you, let us know. Okay. One, two, three.
Thank you!
Okay. And the people who do the work of justice. So if you're part or connected with our work with Isaac or Lincoln School or the Center for Transformation, Open Doors, Green Sanctuary, more, let us know. You know what's coming. You should be conducting us. One, two, three. And if somehow the work that you do and the way that you serve us did not fall into the categories I created, give us a gesture. And there's a few more. Okay. And so let us just say a general thank you to everything that people do around here. This is our last thank you. So if you have any more yelling energy left, this is the time, okay? One, two, three.
Thank you!
Okay, I hope everyone feels thoroughly thanked. Okay, now I'm going to tell you guys a story. And this is a story that happened right here in this church. So are there ever times you feel really, really sad? When do you feel really sad? No? Never? I love to hear that. Tell me your secrets. Well, sometimes I feel really sad. And one of the things that can make me feel really sad is when I see bad things happening in the world and I don't think I can do anything about it. So, almost 4 years ago, we were seeing in the news a lot about people in Syria who are having a really hard time. And I was feeling like I didn't know if I could do anything about it. I didn't know if there was anything to do. And I talked about it a little bit here at church. And then a few church people said, "We can do something about that." And they started doing something. They started learning about what it would be like. Oh, it's time to be quiet. We'll get to be loud again in a little while. And so they started learning what it would look like to have a refugee family come that we would help live in Kalamazoo. So because it wasn't safe for them to live where they were. And it took a whole bunch of people, and we didn't really know what we were doing, but we learned. And we said, we can do this one thing that will help one family. And we started helping one family. And that brought us into relationship and connections with people in Kalamazoo that we didn't know before. So we started working some with people from the Islamic Center. And there is a great story about the Catholics and the Unitarians rehabbing a house that I won't go into again because I've told it. But it's a beautiful story about people coming together to make sure everyone can have a place that feels like home. And so as we've done this work, we've learned a lot of things about what it means to be generous and hospitable and caring and kind. And one of the things we learned, well, we've learned a lot of things. One of them is that we need to have summer school for kids who are new in this country and need a little bit of extra help. And so this church is going to be hosting a summer school program this summer for refugee children. Other people are organizing it, but it's going to be in our building, which is pretty exciting. And we've also learned we need an organization that helps us plan and connect, because when every group or church is working with a different family, we're not as good as when we're all talking to each other and supporting and organizing and connecting all together. And so one of the things we realized is we needed a group to do that. And so this new group that you're going to hear about in a minute was born, and People's Church helped them get off the ground because of complicated things that you don't need to know about. When you're starting a new nonprofit, you need another nonprofit to vouch for you for a little while and say, yes, I'll help you handle your money. And we did that and helped them get off the ground. So this group maybe wouldn't have existed or wouldn't have existed as quickly without People's Church. And so Nina's going to talk to us about Kalamazoo Refugee Resource Collaborative and the good people in our town who are trying to make a world where everyone is safe and feels home here. So I'm going to send you all back to your seats again, but I promise you'll get to get up again very soon. Okay? And probably not be loud. That might have to wait until the service is over. Or until we're singing. You can be loud when we sing.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm sorry if I come across a little bit disjointed. I'm still recovering from Pride with half this congregation. Wishing you a speedy sparkleberry recovery. Anyways, as Reverend Rachel alluded to, the Kalamazoo Refugee Resource Collaborative was born out of this organization. And back in 2015, President Obama had increased the number of refugees coming to the United States, and Kalamazoo, for the first time, received refugees in a long time in a structured manner through Bethany and Samaritas. We were one of the first congregations to step forward and take a Syrian refugee family during a very highly politicized time, right? It was really a bold move to take in a Syrian family at that time. And we coached a lot of other congregations in the area on how to do it. And then we also created this 501c3 nonprofit, which was formally established and recognized last fall. So since then, we've moved away from some of the triage type activities of making sure people have food. That was a problem. People were starving because they couldn't get to the grocery store. And then after that triage process was kind of settled down, the next thing we focused is making sure that the parents were educated, because if the parents or heads of the households are not educated, they can't get a job. They can't advocate for their children in the school systems. So that was the next order of things that we had to establish. So we started a pilot program with the mosque and the other area churches, and now we've transferred that program to the Kalamazoo Literacy Council, and it is funded by the state. Because prior to that, there was no English classes in the summer. So parents would try to take classes in the spring, and then they would hit the summer slide, they would forget everything that they knew, and then they would just give up. All right. So it was this vicious cycle. So now, due in part to People's Love Mafia, I call that. We now have continuity with adult ESL education throughout the whole year. Yes, so that was huge. So now the third thing now that we're talking about is the next crisis is middle schoolers to high schoolers. A lot of these students are high risk because they've been in refugee resettlement camps for 4 years, 5 years, not in school. Okay, and then they get dropped into our public school education, and if they're lucky, they get 2 years of ESL. And it can take anywhere from 5 to 8 years for them to catch up, but if you're 14 years old, you age out of our public school systems at the age of 20, and you get 2 years of English support, and that's it. And there are restrictions with the Literacy Council, adult basic education, barriers, barriers, barriers. You do not get English support through them or even through our public schools. It's terrible. So the next pilot program, and People's Church is hosting it as a, in this space, is to start providing at least a summer gap programming to make sure that these kids at least get some one-on-one tutoring in a more relaxed environment. They don't have as much homework like KPS pushes on kids. They aren't as under as much stress. And we hope to at least start to close that gap and give them some hope so they don't drop off a cliff when they're 20 and they are kicked out into the real world. So that is the ask for today. You know, expenses can be paper, pencil, space, whiteboards. ESL teachers, you know, cost like $40 an hour, though this summer we're going to get them for free. But going forward, we need to have some pilot funding to establish the program, get the metrics in place, get the testing in place, and then be able to transfer that to a more established nonprofit going forward. So that's kind of the technical details behind all this. So that's all I have. Thank you for your support, and I look forward to giving you an update in the future. Thank you.
If you know this one, sing along.
You can be amazing, you can be a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. Or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you the way the words do when they settle beneath your skin. Kept on the inside and no sunlight, sometimes the shadow wins. But I wonder what would happen if you say what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave with what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave.
I just wanna see you. I just wanna see you. Just wanna see you.
I wanna see you be brave.
I just wanna see you. I just wanna see you. I just wanna see you.
I wanna see you be brave. Everybody's been there, everybody's been down by the enemy. Falling for the fear and done some disappearing. Bow down to the mighty. Don't run. Stop wasting your breath. Maybe there's a way out of this cage where you live. Maybe one of these days you can let the light in. Show me how big your brave is. Say what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave with what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave. In a sense, your history of silence won't do you any good. Did you think it would? Let your words be anything but empty. Why don't you tell them the truth? Say what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave with what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave.
I just wanna see you. I just wanna see you. I just wanna see you.
I wanna see you be brave.
I just wanna see you.
be brave.
Like to join me in giving thanks for the gifts that sustain us. From the countless gifts we each have been given, gifts of life and love and sustenance, we bring these small portions to share in the works of love which none of us can accomplish alone.
Now is the time for us each to get a flower from this beautiful chaos of flowers. And as a symbol of our church, and because you don't get to pick the inspiration or transformation that happens to you, the way we're going to do this is we'll have two lines on either side coming forward, and you will pick a flower and give it to the person in line behind you. And as you do that, I invite you to offer a word of blessing. So it could be one of the many blessings we've heard already today, like, be brave, I want to see you be brave, or we can be healing, or may you be filled with loving kindness, or anything else you choose to offer. Okay? So let us form our lines, get our flowers, bless one another. And if moving up to the front is hard for you, let someone who's sitting near you know, and they will bring you a flower and a blessing.
So, y'all, I know that, like, there's cookies now and flowers, so it's, like, really a lot of competition. But you can sing with us still if you'd like and still have your cookies and your flowers. So it's really a good day. So please join us if you would like. It's called Life Calls Us On.
Here in reverence now we gather for the blessings we have known, with a pledge to one another that we journey not alone. Joy and sorrow make us wise, kin to all that lives and dies. Love calls us on, love calls us on. Words and deeds of those before us waken here to keep us strong. Blend our voices in the chorus of creation's living song. Courage bids us lift our eyes upward to the shining skies. Hope calls us on, hope calls us on. Loyal guides in love and duty, lead us with a trusted life. Blessed are they whose inward beauty shows the path of truth and right. Honor is their earthly prize. By their work we realize faith calls us on. Faith calls us on. Free, and the Spirit's gracious power dreamed of good that yet shall be, bright the path before us lies, joyful pilgrims now we rise, life calls us.
With us, and if you need more, there's plenty. Keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. Let all you do be done in love. Go in peace and go in love.